These Old Testament stories, we've been walking through the biblical story the last few weeks, and starting at the beginning, and we've gotten all the way now to the call and anointing of David. And these are wonderful stories. Each one of them is packed with different things we can say. Like today, we could talk in this passage about God calls the unlikely. Last week, it was the child, Samuel, was called by God to do something important. Before that, we had Jacob, who was, you know, kind of a con man, you know? But God called him. And you had Moses, one of the most important figures. He murdered a guy and was on the run, and God called him. We could talk about how God calls the unlikely. But I don't want to do that today. We could talk about how the last part of that scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David mightily. We could talk about how each one of these individuals only did what they did because they lived within the Spirit. The Spirit of God was on them and in them. For David, a few chapters later, kills Goliath, because the Spirit of God is on him mightily. But I want to talk about something different today, a different aspect of this passage. And that's appearance. Appearance. Now, most of you are probably aware that our North American culture seems to be, I don't know, maybe a little bit fixated on appearance. We're just a little bit focused on that. From all the fashion models, the TV stars, the glamour shots, the Facebook page that creates the just perfect facade of this wonderful life that everything is just peachy keen. All of those things, we're fixated on the outward appearance. We like to build a facade so that people around us see what we want them to see. When most of you know, I grew up around here. And so when I went to the Northeast to seminary, I dressed a little bit differently than the people that were there. I had my cowboy boots, and this was the 80s, so they were very pointed at that time. And I had my big belt buckle, and Robin had convinced me that the hat probably wasn't good anymore, so I didn't have my hat. But everyone there saw the way I looked, and what do you think the nickname they gave me was? Tex. And what was funny, though, was every time I went to talk, they would all get amazed. You don't talk like you're from Texas. Okay. I can't help that. This is the way I talk. When they expected me to talk with a drawl, say y'all all the time and fixin' to, but that just wasn't the way I talked. I had a good friend at Princeton at the same time I was, and he was from Alabama. Now, he did talk like he was from Alabama. For those of you over 35, he talked like Gomer Pyle. For those of you under 35, he just talked like you can imagine somebody from Alabama talked. Everyone underestimated him because they thought he sounded stupid. He was one of the smartest men I've ever known and is now president of a university. But everyone was quick to judge Joe by the way he talked. I'm going to tell a story now that if I've told to some of you, I apologize, but I forget what I tell some. That's part of getting old, right? Robin and I were going on vacation with the kids, and they were all young, and this is long before we had all of these safety precautions, and everybody had to have a car seat till they were 21 kind of thing. And I drove a Blazer at the time, and so my idea was we were going to drive to Florida. I was going to do it while everybody was asleep. So I waited till everybody went to sleep. I loaded everybody, including Robin, into the Blazer and had a pallet laid out for the kids, safety first, and had them in the back. And so we take out at midnight because I figure I can get 8 hours under my belt and before the kids wake up and, you know, have to go to the bathroom and or when are we getting there and all that kind of stuff. So I start out. So we get 2 hours east of Bedford. And the rear differential on my Blazer ceases to work. Now, if you know anything about cars, that's what lets your axle go this way, when the drive shaft goes this way. And so I didn't go anywhere. Now, this was pre-cell phone days. So I'm in the middle of East Texas on I-20, and the truck's going at 2 a.m. Fortunately, I was near a rest stop. So I got us into the rest stop, so we're off the highway. So at this point, Robin wakes up, and she said, "What's going on?" I said, "The truck won't go." She said, "Why?" And I said, "Do I look like I know why? And how long have we been married? You know I have no idea why." So I said, "But there's a payphone there." And this is a statement that some of you under 35 do not understand, but I looked at my wife, and I said, "Do you have a quarter?" So I walked up to the payphone, and she goes, "Who are you going to call?" And I said, "I don't know yet." But there was a sticker that said 24-hour towing. I'm in the piney woods of East Texas now. 24-hour towing. I said a prayer, put the quarter in, dialed the number. Guy answered, and I said, "Here we are." He goes, "Oh, I know right where you are." So he comes. We wait, we wait, we wait. The kids are sleeping through all this. And then so when he finally gets there, did anybody know ZZ Top, right? You know, the whole, for those of you who don't, Duck Dynasty, you know? So he shows up, this is summertime because we're on vacation. He shows up with the beard. He makes me look petite. He's probably 300 pounds, big man, 2 or 3 inches taller than me. And he's in overalls and no shirt. I think we're going to die. I honestly believed I was going to die that night. And he comes in, and he's got a Marlboro hanging out on one side, and he looks at the truck, and he says, "What's wrong?" And I said, "It doesn't go anywhere." And I said, "I think it's the back end." So he said, "Okay, I'm going to tow you from the back." He said, "Because it's in the middle of the night, nobody's going to care. You guys can stay, because see, this is safety first. You guys can stay in the vehicle so you don't have to wake up the kids." So at 3 o'clock in the morning, Robin and I are facing backwards, going down I-20, 30 miles to the nearest hotel, because there's nowhere else we can go. And he said, "They'll take us in." I should have known. At this point, I said to my wife, "I'm thinking we might die tonight." And she said, "Yeah, I think you're right." So he gets us to the hotel, and I said, "Okay, what do I owe you?" And he said, "No, you're not going anywhere, so I'll come back and pick you up in the morning, and we'll take it into the Chevy dealership." I said, "Okay, it's fine." So he comes back the next day, and this time he does have a shirt on, same overalls, but he's got the shirt on, and he says, "Okay, this time you've got to ride in the truck because it's daylight." Now, I have 3 children. At this point, they're still relatively young, but they're 3 children, my wife and I, and ZZ Top, in the front of the truck. So we're about to get in, and I'm doing the polite thing, which is to let people in. My wife looks at me and says, "No, you're first." I went, "Oh, okay." So I'm next to ZZ, then my kids, then Robin's on the outside. So we're going down. We've got a 30-mile ride, and we're starting down to I-20 to Tyler. And he decides he needs a smoke, so it's fine. He rolls down his window. Well, the cab, you know, still sort of fills up. And the window on Robin's side, I look over and say, "You can roll down your window." She does not say a word. She just looks at the door. There is no handle on either the window or the door on the inside. So I said, "Okay, he's a morning person. We're going to die this morning. He was tired last night. He just wants to kill us all now." We're sweating profusely. This guy is not talking at all. And you know me, I'm nervous chatter, so I'm just, you know, nothing's happening. And then he turns off the freeway and says he knows a back road to get to Tyler. Lo and behold, he did. He picked us up in the middle of the night, dropped us at a hotel, cared the fact that my children would be awake if he didn't do something that was slightly illegal and very unsafe, took me to the car dealership, and then as he's unhooking the car, says, "Do you need me to take you to a rental car?" And I said, "No, I think that's fine." And I said, "How much do I owe you?" And he said, "That'd be $60, please." And I said, are you sure? Because even in the 90s, that's not a lot of money. He said, nah, that's fine. So I paid the guy. Turns out he was a very, very nice man. Scared the daylights out of me, but he was a nice man. Because I was just looking on what's on the outside. He didn't look like what I was used to and what I was comfortable with. He looked different than me. And he looked different than the people I hang out with. But you know what? He wasn't. As a matter of fact, he's nicer than a lot of people I hang out with. Not you guys. But that's the message of this story today. We look at the outside all the time because that's what we see. But God looks at the inside. God looks at our hearts. Let me read you a passage from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. Some of you may recognize is a very important scripture to me. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and raised for them. So, we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about Christ now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. We no longer judge Christ as being merely human, because we know the Christ that we have experienced, who has given each of us a second chance, a new life, a chance to be different. Paul reminds us, just like the story from 1 Samuel reminds us, that we, in response to what God has done for us, should also evaluate, judge, look at others the way God does. We need to get past the facade. We need to get past the things that make us uncomfortable. Just because somebody doesn't look like us, just because somebody doesn't talk like us, just because someone's different from us, we must still look at them as God does, with love, compassion, and get to know the heart of those people. Because we will be missing out on what we can know about others, and others may miss out on the message of God's reconciliation if we look to the outside. Let us remember today that God doesn't look at the outside, so neither should we. Blessed be the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.